Hi, family. I want to welcome you guys back to the How to Return to Greatness podcast. And on this podcast, we discuss the issues that are plaguing the African-American communities, as well as discussing solutions that could bring about change. So, of course, on today's episode, we're actually going to speak about the feminization of the black man in America and the climate that was created in America to cause this change inside of our black men. So, of course, you know me, I like to start at the root of a problem and basically why it was caused. So the beginning of the feminization of black men in America actually was created aboard the boats that we were forced to get on in our unwanted journey to America, as well as other countries. Now, aboard these boats, there, of course, were no women. It was pretty much all white men who were coming into Africa, stealing and pillaging, as well as brutalizing the Africans that were there, in turn taking us from our country. This is exactly why I don't really like to use the terminology slave, because we actually weren't at the beginning slaves. We were prisoners of war. But I use the term slave because a lot of people don't know the inner workings of how we even got to America because they haven't done their research. They only know what people have told them, which of course isn't true. Now, like I was stating, aboard these boats, of course, there were no women. It was just European men. I don't know, you're thinking there weren't any women on the boat. Well, how did we get here? Well, actually, when I say women, I mean women of age. There were girls, but they were like from the ages of maybe 6 to 13 years old. So to me, those weren't women. Those were little girls. Now, of course, on these boats, the white men were the judge, juror, and executioner. So they were able to do whatever they pleased, whenever they pleased, to whoever they pleased, and whom and however they pleased. And so on these boats, of course, like I said, there were no white women on these boats. So these men, they were having sex with the captives, with the prisoners of war. Now, they were having sex with not only the little girls, but they were having sex with the men as well. And this hints to a term called buck busting. And what buck busting is they would take the biggest, the strongest black men in those groups, and they would have sex with them and basically dehumanize them, as well as feminize them, as well as demasculate them in front of the others, so that the others would recognize that they were under the captive of these Europeans, and no one was going to save them, not even the strongest men and their crew could help them. This, of course, set the tone for the feminization of black men in America still to this day. And also subconsciously creates that stigma that we have in the black community for gay men and gay women inside our communities, not only in African-American culture, but of black people all over the globe, you know, in Jamaica, the Caribbeans, you know, in Dominican Republic, in the Hispanic countries, you know, everyone of black descent has almost like a stigma when it comes to gay men and gay women, not just because we have a hate for them or anything, but a lot of times when something is subconsciously beat into you, you dislike it without even realizing the core stem of where it comes from. But I just want to say right now that this isn't any hate speech or anything like that, because I love absolutely everyone. I don't care who you do it or what you're doing it with, whether you're a gay man, whether you're a gay woman, whether you're transgender. I don't care what you are, whatever alphabet you consider yourself as. I still think of you as a human, because before you're anything, you're a human, and I love you. So let me just put that out there right now. If I have any gay listeners, I am the last person you're going to get any hate speech from. That's never going to come from me. But let's get back to the topic of the feminization of the black man here in America. There's actually been a lot of discussion about the feminization of black men. There's been a lot of books written on it, a lot of articles written on it. One of the women who I hold dear and actually heard actually speak on this topic in depth was Mrs. Dr. Francine Wilson Cress. If you haven't heard of her, I advise you to look her up. She did a book on the ISIS papers. It was a very good book. It was basically a book on essays that she wrote. Now, the feminization of black men, it kind of stems from the hatred that white men have for black men, and that this so-called fear that they have that they're going to impregnate the white woman for some reason. I'm not sure why they're worried about that, but I know the culture and TV kind of stigmatizes and makes you have this thought process that black men can't wait to get their hands on a white woman. And in some cases that is true, but not in all cases. Not all black men hold white women in such a dear and regard, but this is where it stems from, the hatred and the thought that and the knowing that the black man could annihilate the white race. And also keeping in mind that you cannot create black kids without the black man. You know what I mean? If you take out the man, then there is going to be a decrease in black children being born, because if you still have the black woman, of course, she'll have sex with a white man or Asian man. But guess what? Those won't be black kids. Those will be mixed kids. So the way to annihilate the black race from moving forward, it is to kill the black man. And of course, they're doing that every which way they can. They have been doing that since the time that we have been placed on this earth in America, from 1619, when we first came to Jamestown, Virginia. So they have been trying to eradicate the black man through murder, through initiating drugs in our communities, creating the atmosphere for black on black crime when it comes to men. So they have been doing and coming at us from every corner they can to annihilate the black man. So the last way to do it is feminizing him, making him gay. And everywhere you look, It's a lot of gay things going on and being pushed into the black community. Like, our children can't even watch cartoons without being forced and being bombarded with all of these gay images. And not saying that anything's wrong with gay people or what they do, whoever you decide to sleep with, that's your own choice. But I don't think children should be subjected or in an atmosphere where they are being forced to see any sexual conduct, whether it comes between a man and a woman, woman and a woman, or a man and a man. Cartoons and on these TV shows and outside in these atmospheres. And this is actually warping their mind before it has the chance to grow. You know, this is why they play commercials with a bunch of toys when it's time for Christmas during the hours that children are up and home from school, because it subconsciously puts in these children's head months before Christmas actually comes up that Christmas is coming and that these are the toys that they want their mom to purchase for them, that this builds into a billion-dollar business. These people aren't stupid. This is why it's called television for a reason. It programs your vision. Now, I may get a lot of slack for this, but I'm one of those people who believe you're born gay. That's just what I believe. I don't believe that anyone, man or woman, would put themselves through so much hurt and so much stigma if they could actually choose it. Like, who would actually choose to be a gay black man, you know, in America, like, or a gay black woman in America? Like, who would actually choose this, knowing that it's going to come along with so much stigma and so much hatred? So it's one thing for you to be born gay and that's your own decision. Okay, I'm with you. But it's another thing for someone to create the environment to make you change your mind and be something who you would not have been had it not been outside in sources that are coming in helping you warp your brain into thinking that these type of behaviors is something that you actually want to participate in. And it's coming from every angle possible. You know, it's coming from my children's favorite basketball players, it's coming from their favorite entertainers, it's coming from the guys down the street who live around the corner, who are wearing these fashionable, questionable attires that our children are starting to want to attribute to themselves. I mean, if you look at our basketball players right now, like one, for instance, I think his name is Mike West, Nine West. I'm not sure. I don't keep up with that kind of crap. But he wears a lot of questionable attires to the basketball games. I mean, his pants are super tight. He wears pocketbooks. He wears a skirt, you know, like Cam Newton. You know, the way he dresses is very questionable. And it's like these things are contributing to our young generation starting to be feminized. You know, if you look at these rappers, you know, for instance, one name, I think his name is Young Thug or something like that. He wears fingernail polish. He wears dresses. You know, he wears pocketbooks. And, you know, it's just getting out of hand. It's getting out of hand to the fact where you cannot even tell the difference between a gay black man and a straight black man, because they wear the same clothes. You understand what I'm saying? Both black men, straight and gay, wear pocketbooks. Both of them are wearing nail polish. Both of them are wearing jeans that are very tight. Now, if a gay black man is wearing jeans that are very tight with a pocketbook, that's understandable. He's gay. You know, nothing here to see. That's nothing outside the normal. But when you have a straight black man wearing pocketbooks and fingernail polish, that's something to be worried about. Because what are we saying as women that is continuing to let them feel as if though this type of rhetoric and this type of behavior, these type of clothing choices are okay? We have to start letting these men know that no, that's That's not for you. Just because they made it in your size, what do they tell big women? Just because they made it in your size don't mean it's for you. Yeah, well, men, just because they make pants in your size don't mean that you're supposed to put your body in them. You understand what I'm saying? It's starting to get out of hand, and it's really worrisome, because I'm starting to wonder, where are we going to be, you know, 50 to 100 years from now, if this kind of behavior continues to evolve in our community, as far as our men being feminized. And it was actually a book, I'm not sure who actually wrote it, but I remember Dr. Francine Cress Welsing referring to it. Maybe it was like 20 years ago, a black man wrote a book, and he said, I wouldn't be surprised in the 2000s if they have black men wearing dresses and skirts. And people then were pretty much like flabbergasted, like, that would never happen. Like, what are you talking about? And here we are in 2000s, the late early 2000s, and now it's normal to see black men in tight pants, like, you know, and their pants are still sagging, like, they have their butts out, and it makes you wonder, like, black men, don't you know that when you pull your pants down and your butt is out, other men can see that too? Like, what are you saying? You know, and it just comes with a lot of questionable behavior, a lot of questions for me, because I want to understand, like, why is this type of behavior seen as okay? It makes me want to go back to the early 2000s, where a man was a man, you know what I mean? And, you know, you could tell he had oversized overalls and oversized basketball jerseys. Of course, I mean, it could have been toned up a little bit, but it's better than what we are being presented with and left with now, don't you think? If you haven't noticed this, all of these things that are happening right now in our communities, not only African-American communities, but America period, it's like the government or the powers that be are trying to put a demise to the family values that we have in America. You know, the family unit, the man and the woman with the two kids and the picket fence, you know, the so-called American dream. And we're not really going to get into the American dream too much, because, I mean, I know it doesn't really apply to African Americans, because we were never intended to be a part of the American dream. But who cares? We can have that as well. I don't really want the American dream, but I do think that black men and black women raising black children, I do believe that that is revolutionary. And I do believe that that is a way to put a stop to our children being continuously left behind when it comes to academics, when it comes to self-love and self-knowledge, as well as self-pride. I believe that a black man and a black woman who are in a healthy relationship, not a problematic one, but a healthy one, could actually be the cause of a great future for our children. If we together come together as one and decide that we are going to be against every stereotype, every negative connotation, everything that is not of health for our children, whether it comes to sexuality, food, the things they're eating. And when I say sexuality, that doesn't mean go out and terrorize your kids if you believe they're gay. That's not what I'm saying. Don't do that. I feel like that's terrible, and that negates who you are as a parent. I believe whatever your child chooses to do in their sexual orientation, or as far as their lives, as long as they're not hindering themselves, as long as they're not causing themselves any health problems or any jail time or anything like that, I think you should be behind them. But what I'm saying is, I believe that even if we have gay children, I believe that we can raise them to be loving and prideful people, but that has to be from two loving parents, you know. And I feel like right now, with the stereotypes and the things that are being pushed in America, it is actually causing a demise, and it's creating the environment that I'm not sure if the black family, or any family for that matter in America, is going to be able to withstand these changes. I mean, they're doing this to everyone. I mean, even some of our favorite entertainers. Even as a young girl, I didn't pay attention to what was happening inside of Martin, but I used to love when Shanae would come on. Like, that was one of my favorite times of the show, to see Shanae come across the hall. You know, I really loved the show Madea, because I felt like she was exhibiting what a strong black woman was. You know, I didn't really pay attention to the fact that it was a man dressed in a woman's clothing. You know, I didn't really look at it as cross dressing, and I felt like they, as men, didn't really pay attention to it as well. They just really thought of it as doing their job. But I feel like you have to actually look at things in depth when you're here in America, as well as in the world, because they do a lot of things that are subconsciously stuck in our minds when we're not even realizing what we're doing or how we're doing. I mean, so basically, I just want you guys to pay attention to the fact that the feminization of our men is coming full throttle. Like, they're really trying to. It's like, if they can't beat us to death, if they can't shoot us to death, if they can't create the climate that will cause us to kill ourselves so overtly, or if they can't create the environment to get us to do drugs to where we have overdoses, it's like, then hey, we'll feminize them. Everywhere you look are starting to become more feminized. And it doesn't help that the average black man is raised in a house full of women, because there are no black men present. It's like, I mean, I grew up with a father, so let me not just put that stereotype out there, but in my neighborhood, I didn't really see a lot of black men. A lot of my friends did not have black fathers. A lot of my homeboys did not have black fathers. They didn't have access to stand up, upright, independent, fearless men. So it's like, they have no idea what a real man is and what a real man does and how a real man conducts himself, because the average black man, like I said, was raised in a house full of women. He was raised in a house with his mom, with his sisters, with his aunties, with his cousins, because half of them had no access to real men. The men that his mother was dating, they weren't real men. You know, the men that his aunties and his cousins were dating, they weren't real men. So he had nothing to, he had no standard. He had no idea what a real man was. And we have to pay attention to that, women. We have to stop having kids with men who have no idea what it is to be a man, because then we're stuck by ourselves trying to raise these men. And a woman can't teach a man how to be a man, because for one, we are not men. We could only give them morals and standards, but at this point in time, you need something to emulate. And what you're going to emulate is what you see on TV, which is why a lot of our sons walk around with this whole, I'm a gangster, I'm a thug mentality. Oh, I'll do this or I'll do that. Not necessarily because that's who they are as a person, but this is what they have the belief. This is what they have come to as thinking, that this is what men are, you know, because this is what's portrayed to them, what they see on TV, what they hear in music. Oh, a man exhibits anger. He exhibits violence. This is what men do. And or a man can dress how he wants to dress. A man can have on tight pants with a pocketbook and still be considered a man, when that's not the case. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you're a man, but in my eyes, you're going to be a gay man. And if that's not necessarily who you are, why would you want to present yourself in such a way that people would think that? You know what I mean? And it's like, if you're a young boy and you're grown up with a bunch of women, of course you're going to have feminine qualities. That's why a lot of our men right now have a bunch of feminine qualities as well. Not only aiding to the fact that the environment that they're set up in is a little sick, you know, that aids to the fact that our men are being feminized on a even greater scale. Because even if you grew up in a house as a man full of women, yeah, you will have a little bit of feminine qualities, but you're not going to be a full blown woman. You know what I mean? Like, because, hey, women have been raising men by themselves for a long time. And even then, in like the early 2000s, early 90s, our men weren't walking around with pocketbooks. Our men weren't walking around with tight jeans. That was considered a little weird. You know what I mean? If you wore tight jeans and a pocketbook in the 1990s, you were a gay man. Early 2000s, you were a gay man. Now, if you wear that, you a rapper. or you were an entertainer, or you considered cool, or whatever the case may be. But by this time, I just want us to start paying attention and keeping our eye on what we are exhibiting, what we are allowing for people to tell us. Somebody shouldn't be able to piss on you and tell you it's raining outside. Come on now, people. We have to stop that. And them trying to give us a whole new standard for what a straight man is, we're going to have to tell them that they can keep that, and that we like our standard for what a straight man is. You know, not for what a man is, because a man is anybody who stands up and protects themselves, provides for their family, provides for themselves, are upright, independent, and fearless. But what I mean is trying to give us a new standard for what a straight man is. And that is a standard that we do not need of theirs, and we have our own, and we should keep our own, and we should hold our men accountable as well, and let them know that this new behavior that they are exhibiting, we are not for it. We do not stand by it. We do not approve of it, and we do not like it. Because if we as women continue to stand by this type of behavior, what are we saying? You know, because if you don't say anything, you are approving it. You know, it's just the same as somebody who commits a crime and they're with someone else, even though you didn't participate in the crime, you didn't say anything about it, you didn't try to stop it. So that makes you what? An accessory after the fact, you know? So it's like, by this time, women, we have to step up and set our standards as well and stop allowing men to force crap on us and we just accept it as what it is, because we don't have to take that, you know? I don't know about you, I want a man, and I don't want a man who walks around in a pocketbook and fingernail polish. And I mean, like I said before, we have to stop allowing people to piss on us outside and tell us it's raining, you know? Like, we have got to start thinking for ourselves, and that includes our men also. Our men have got to stop looking at other men and being raised by them, because like I said before, there's no men in a lot of our young generation's households, you know? And if you don't see something right in front of your face, you have no choice but to emulate what you see, even though that may not necessarily be the truth of what the core existing of what you are missing out on your life is. So again, guys, I do want to thank you guys for hanging out with me throughout this podcast. I really appreciate your presence. Please make sure you follow the podcast. Make sure you leave some comments at the bottom about what you thought. Also, make sure you come follow me on Instagram, Cherry Sherise Henderson. Of course, let me spell that for you. It is spelled Cherry Sherise. And I just created my new website. Now you can follow me on this new website at CherryCheriseHenderson.com, and it's spelled CherryCheriseHenderson. And on that website, you'll be able to get in contact with me if you want to send me a few emails. If you want to keep up with what I'm doing, I can send you some emails about my upcoming speaking engagements or my upcoming endeavors. So make sure you guys follow me on the website, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook, and just keep me, guys, in your frontal lobe, because I will be coming back with more info. And I'll see you guys next week on a new episode of How to Return to Greatness, guys. And I wish you guys the best and proactivity in your week coming.